Welcome to the second episode of the Success is My Religion podcast. I have a student at the school that I work at that will not let me not do this podcast, which is good for me and good for you all. I do have a message and I want to get it out there. And I didn't know how to get it out there in a way that would be beneficial. And like, I cannot script the stuff that I say, so I just need to go off the top of my head. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I have Success is My Religion is the name of the podcast, and success is technically my religion. I study success like I do a religion, and I want everybody to know the things that I know from, and my students are at the high school are 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, and I've been putting in a lot of work for 17, 18 years since I left high school. And I just wanted to get my message out there because I want to give back to my community, the students, people that grew up with similar backgrounds as me. And I think that I can do it. And I created a philosophy for individual achievement that I developed and created over the years of doing a lot of work. And then I did a lot of work up until I started creating the philosophy. But that work, like, I was just putting in work. So it wasn't, there was no connection to success. But once I started studying success, I realized what I was doing within the work that I had done before. So when I went to college in 2002, 2003, I was like, I didn't know what else to do. Like, I was the only one that had went off to college from my group of friends from high school. I went to an all-white school, and like, I don't even remember it, that, like, it ain't no black or white thing, but like, I don't even think our counselors really even told us how to, you know, apply for schools. Like, I only graduated with 5 black people in my class. Like, we could have got some kind of scholarship, some kind of minority scholarships, but I'm not blaming them, but it's weird because, like, I didn't, like, nobody in my family ever went to college. Nobody in my family had a level of success that I could see or touch or feel or whatever. And I made a decision. I was like, I see everybody else not going to college, not graduating college, high school, whatever. And I wanted to make a change for myself. So I went off to college. A lot of my friends didn't go. All of my friends didn't go. I think I'm the only one that graduated. We had one friend that graduated with his associate's degree, and he graduated with his associate's degree before we even graduated high school. So he was already done, but I went on and went on to school, got my bachelor's degree. When I was in school, this is where it all started. Like, I made a decision. So I went to Iowa State for 1 year, and I didn't do too well. Like, my aunt had died my senior year of high school. She actually died on around this time. It was her funeral was on the day of my last game ever in high school, last basketball game ever in high school. And she never got to see me play. I always wanted my aunt to come and watch me play basketball, but she never got to see me play. And we went to the funeral. I still had to, like, I didn't have to play the game, but, like, it was the district playoff. So if we won, we moved on. So I felt like I had to just for myself and just for my aunt. And I knew she would want me to play in that game. So I went to the funeral and went to the game, played in the game. We ended up losing, but that happened to be my last game. So I decided to, when I graduated, I didn't know what to do. I got accepted to Iowa State. So I went to Iowa State, spent however much money there, and over like $20,000 because I was out of state, to go there and not do well. It was a big school. I think it's like 25 to 50,000 students there, and I wasn't able to handle it. Like, I didn't know what to do. So I transferred from there, and then I wanted to play basketball, but I couldn't walk on to Iowa State because I wasn't that good to just walk on and be a player on the team. And like, I didn't know how to train myself, and nobody was training me. So I just went back to I went back home that summer. I was like, I want to come back home. Like, I want to transfer back. My coach said that I could try to play basketball at this one school called Missouri Valley College, and I end up trying out. They offered me a scholarship. It wasn't a huge scholarship. I still had to pay out of pocket, all those different types of things. But I made a decision when I went to that school. I was like, I messed up at the other one, so I know what I'm here for. Like, I'm not going pro. I'm not going, like, I'm not even playing in the D1 school. So, like, I just want to play basketball because, like, I made a vow to myself and to my aunt that passed away, and without ever seeing me play the game, a basketball game, that I was going to play for her. And I was like, I know what I'm here for. So I'm going to go play basketball, and I'm going to get all the experiences that I can out of it. Because at that time, like, nobody was really hiring me. So like, I was frustrated. I was like, I'm about to get every experience, so nobody can tell me that, oh, you can't, we're not going to give you a job, or you're not able, or you don't have the skills to have a job here, or whatever. And I was just like, I'm gonna get every skill that you need, so nobody can deny me. Nobody is gonna be able to deny me a job, because like, I got experience. So I went in Missouri Valley College. I end up double majoring in Human Service Agency Management, Recreation Administration. Through that program, they had a certification program, which is you could be a certified nonprofit professional after a 4-year program with different requirements. I was also, so I was a student, I was an athlete. I was involved in that 4-year organization, nonprofit organization. I became a leader in that organization. I was the head of marketing for 2 years. I even became a resident assistant my junior and senior year. So like, the progression of work kept on going. I also had work study in there. So like, my schedule was jam packed every single day. If once I got done with one activity or classes, I never missed a class. Let's get that straight. I rarely, if I ever, missed a class. I never missed a practice. I never missed a game. I never missed a organization meeting. I didn't sleep in. No, like, none of that. Like, I made all my hours. I get like all of my hours of work study. Like, I did all of that, like, and I was like, I'm putting in work. I just put my head down because I already knew what I wanted to do. Like, the program that I was in, I had faith in that program, I guess you could say. Just, I was just like, this sounds good. It gives me the majors that I picked. I double majored, so that gives me two areas that I could go into. And in those two areas, it was a broad, those are two broad fields. Nonprofit management, which is human service agency management, and the recreation administration side. Like, I can go into all different types of things with that major, is what I was thinking, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I put my head down and went. Like, I was like, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And I think I'm the only one in my college that did all four things. So I was a student athlete involved in that organization. I was only, especially basketball. So basketball is in two different, in both semesters. So you have to adjust your schedule to both semesters. You'll have a school schedule that's different in each semester when I go through it. So I know that that I was a student athlete, basketball player, played in both semesters. I was involved in that organization, so we had requirements in that organization. I had work study to do. I eventually had responsibilities with being a resident assistant. So in every aspect of my college life, like, I had pretty much responsibilities. Like, I was held accountable for a lot of things, and I was able to do it. So that started pretty much the work hard movement, and which I didn't know. You know, I still went through my trials, my struggles, all through school, and we'll talk about a lot of that. But just like, it wasn't just rainbows and flowers just going through my time. I kicked off the team, the basketball team, at one point in time. I'll go into that story later as well. But I mean, even after doing all that work, like, I was like, I need to do some more work, because I want to guarantee that when I get out of here, like, I'm gonna have experience, I'm gonna have the degrees. Can't nobody stop me, unless it's some racism or they don't like me or whatever it is. I was like, I'm gonna have some skills that are going to be marketable in this society. So when I graduated, I was like, man, it was getting close to my graduation. I was like, man, I want to get my master's. And they only had a few graduate assistant positions. But when I graduated my year, they had opened up like a whole bunch of graduate assistant positions. So I was like, man, I don't want to be a residence hall director. I want to do something different, because I was kind of an introvert. And you'll hear it in the clip later of when I'm talking to my student about doing my first episode. And my first episode was actually last year at this time, because I like to do things around my birthday. And my birthday is February 11th, and this will probably be out on February 11th or February 12th. But there was a opening in admissions, and I was an introvert, so I always wanted to put myself in position to get out of my comfort zone. And being an introvert, like, I wanted to start talking to people more, and doing different things. And I had tasted a little bit, because I was I worked in retail, and I was a waiter. So I started working myself out of that introvertism, like being real shy and not want to talk to people. So I was like, man, let me do this admissions counselor, because I can get more contact with people, and because I know I like to work with people and I like talking to people. But I was just wasn't comfortable. So that forced me to get out of my comfort zone. I was going to get my master's degree paid for, even though, like, I still had to take out some loans because I didn't have no money. We got paid $450 a month, but I got, like, my meals and housing paid for, but still $450 a month. I had to get a part-time night job at a mental health facility. So, even in my graduate assistant years, those two years, I was putting in massive amounts of work for $450. I was putting in 40 plus hours at the admissions office, and then I had to keep our job at the mental health center, we had to do 16 hours, two 8-hour shifts, and they was overnight. So when I got that job, most of my weeks went like Monday, I would go to work from 8 to 4, get off, go to class, go eat, go to class from 6 to 9, go to work from 10 to 6, yeah, take a nap, go back to work 8 to 4 on Tuesday, go back to, sometimes we had 3 classes that was on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Sometimes we had Monday, Wednesday classes, but sometimes I had to go back to class on Tuesday after eating, getting a snack or getting dinner. And then I would go to class 6 to 9, 10 to 6, and then I'll be done with those shifts. But then Wednesday, get up 8 to 4. I finally get maybe a little bit of naps, but sometimes we had class, so class would go from 6 to 9, and then I would get some type of sleep, but I still had to do homework, whatever. And then Thursday, 8 to 4, and we went out on Thursday, but Thursday night we would go out in Columbia, Missouri, that's what it was. It was all work. Like, I had that one night where I would go do, we would go out, have some fun. But then it was right back to work the next day. Most of the time we had stuff to do on the weekends. We had tours. We had college visits, recruitment days, things we had to set up for the weekend. And I was just going nonstop still. Sometimes we had to recruit over the weekend, so we had to drive somewhere. And a lot of times, like during our busy season, so I would get off of work at 6 a.m. I would have to take a nap or even not take a nap and just drive to 2 or 3 hours to a college fair, because like I couldn't stay overnight anywhere, because I had to come back and be back for classes, or I had to be back for work, because my college visits and high school visits were like during the week. So I was like, man, this is what I got to do. So I would leave work at the mental health facility and take a quick nap and hit the road with my car. And that was another thing. I had to drive my own car too. Like, I mean, y'all don't know the struggle in college, high school, or not even high school, college, graduate school. And that all started, like, I did everything in the admissions office. Like, we had this one thing we called, you had to duplicate the files, so the files had to get, every office had to get their own set of paperwork, and you had to copy the paperwork so that we would have a copy, they would have the original, and it took, like, at least 10 to 15 minutes to do each person's file that accepted their scholarship. So I would go back there and duplicate files for like an hour and a half or whatever, and it was crazy how many files I duplicated. And then one time our secretary, she actually left. Like, she her husband got a good job somewhere else, and she moved. They moved, so we needed a secretary. But we didn't have a secretary, and it was kind of our busy season for getting scholarships out. So I learned to write up the scholarship, send it out, make sure everything was right so that we were still on pace. And then I was still duplicating files. I was taking people on tours. I'm not saying that nobody else did all this stuff. I did most of the duplicating files. You can ask anybody, and if they tell you something different, they lying. They lying, because I did a lot of those duplicating files, and we had record enrollment for those 2 years too, because I was putting in work. I may not have got a lot of numbers because I was from Kent, or the the Kansas City rep, and we didn't do a lot of recruiting from Kansas City. And our school was a sports school, so as an admissions counselor, we had to get people, that wasn't involved in a sport on our, as far as our numbers. So I was up there, I was answering every single phone call just so I can possibly get somebody that was from that city that wanted to go to school, and I try to get them through so I can be my number, because like I said, we was a sports school, and if anybody was involved in the sports process, like, that wasn't our number of students. Like, we couldn't use them as our number, our goal to get to recruit, our recruitment goals. But yeah, that was like the first 7 years of after graduation, after high school graduation. And let me tell you, I didn't know how fast it went, but like, it was tough. Like, I didn't think it was tough because I was just going nonstop and nonstop, nonstop, nonstop all throughout. But then I got out. I graduated in 2009 with my master's degree. I had like at least 6 years of experience and just all around experience. I even had a 300-hour internship in undergrad as a case manager. So, like, I had a lot of experience. I had the degrees. I had, but what happened in 2007? From 2007 to 2010. The Great Recession happened. Who would have guessed that? So I got back out, and I was like, man, I'm gonna go back home because I've been home or away from home for too long, and like they went like during that time, 2007 to 2010, 8.7 million jobs was being lost. So people was like not hiring because of the Great Recession. And like I felt defeated. I finally got a job at an elementary school. That's where I started learning about my connection to students and kids in general, and how I can be of assistance, or I can serve and just give back to my community. Like, I always wanted to give back to my community, and that was an opportunity. Like, this school was, like, right around the corner, like, a few blocks from where I grew up in the city. And so it was like I was coming back after so long. So I wanted to be, like, I wanted to give back to the community. So I worked in special ed for 3 years. And then after that, I wanted to get back into older students, and I wanted to get into higher education. And I knew I had a background in it. I already had 3 years of experience, 3 to 4 years of experience with my university or college. So I got back into, I got a job in higher education as a residence hall director. Even then, I was doing a lot of things, I had a lot of different hats on. So I was a residence hall director. I was the co-advisor to the student activities group. We put on a lot of events, which I was used to from being in the organization I was in. I also was a first year seminar instructor, co-instructor for 2 years. When I was there for three years, but I was a co teacher for a first year seminar course. And even at the I started, so a lot of y'all might not know that I'm a group fitness instructor as well. So I started participating in group fitness in 2009. I got introduced to it. 2010, I really got into it because I realized what I wanted to, like, that was going to be my way out of being overweight after being in grad school and not playing any sports. I was like, group fitness is the way to be, because like whatever we did in college basketball was not working for me to lose weight. So the group fitness was like, it was endurance. It was, and I'm telling you, these little 18-year-old kids, I was 25, 26 at the time. These little 18-year-old kids was beating my teams in pickup ball and talking noise. And I was like out of shape. I was fat and stuff because I've been eating all these burgers and from the bowling alley, double burgers, sloppy, greasy, everything on it, French fries. Like every other day, it seemed like we was going to get them burgers. But so group fitness, when I started group fitness, I was like, man, I'm going to go all out on this. So I started group fitness while I was at the elementary school. I end up starting to teach. I started teaching when I got to Abilene University in higher education. I started teaching group fitness classes when I started working there. So up until now, like, I've been participating in group fitness classes for 10 years. It's 2020, 10 years, almost 11 years I've been participating in group fitness classes. For 7 of those years, I've been teaching. And when I say, like, when I, my first 3 years of group fitness, I was doing 16 classes a week. Like I got up to 16 hours. That each group fitness class is 1 hour. So 16 classes in a week. Like, I was doing all kind of classes. And that's why I started doing Zumba. Like, one of the instructors of the boot camp classes was a good instructor. And she was like, we have a packed class. You could come do Zumba. And so I started doing Zumba. And I didn't know how to dance when I started doing Zumba. And, like, this is a process of success. Like, through all of this stuff, like, I don't know how to do a lot of the stuff that when I start, I don't know how to do any of the stuff that I do. But I learn, like, and once I know how to practice for something. So, like, this podcast, I don't know how to practice. Like, I've been trying to study. Like, my last episode was last year. That's stupid. Like, why aren't you doing more episodes? Why aren't you doing more? Like, why aren't you practicing? But, like, I didn't know how to practice. So I got to make up my ways to practice. And I think that, like, that's something that is special to me, and everybody can do it, but you have to know how you learn. And that's what I do is, like, once I figure out what the goal is for whatever I'm doing, then I know how to practice to help make me better, to get me better at whatever it is I'm doing. So group fitness, when I started participating in Zumba classes, I couldn't even dance. Like, they had all these women, like, the instructor had a dance and fitness background. So she was doing a little bit of everything. So I called her the Michael Jordan of Zumba. And she taught me pretty much everything I know. I give her mad props. Like, she introduced me to, like, what, like, Zumba is. Like, I think what it should be, because, like, you got to have that fitness aspect. You got to have that dance aspect. I can't dance too well, but, like, I can do a little bit because I got better over the years. And that started it all. I used to do a lot of classes. Like, every night was 2 to 3 classes. And then I would go play basketball after that. And I still went to work every single day. Every single day I went to work. Like, and I figured it out. Like, it wasn't something that was easy for me. But I figured it out. I figured out how to manage. I figured out, and to this day, like, I still teach classes. But you would never know if you saw me at work. Like, and you would never know that I go teach or participate in 2 to 3 classes a night. Because, I mean, I don't drink coffee. I don't complain about that I'm tired or something. I may complain a little bit, but it's not a complaint like, oh, I don't want to be here. I just want to go to sleep. Nah, it's like I'm tired because I was up doing however many classes last night, and I didn't get enough sleep because I got to read and study up and do all these different things. That's why I'm here now. I'm like, I can't sit down and script this. Whatever I'm saying to you right now, I can't script it. Like, I can't just write it out and speak it into a podcast or whatever. I just have to say it because everything I know is off of intuition now. Now I have a philosophy that I can break it down for people and break it down for you into pieces that you can understand. But this is all off the top of my head. This is stuff that I know and because I practice it over the years. So I talk to a lot of students that are 18 years old, 17, 18 years old. I've been doing this stuff for 18 years already. I graduated in 2002. It is 2020. So, I mean, and the process and the growth over those years, and now I'm gonna get into it now. Success doesn't happen overnight. And one of the most important things that you have to understand is that you have to define success for you. And that's the main thing that I'm here because, like, you're 18 years younger than me. And, like, I'm surviving right now. So in 18 years, you're going to be the same age as me, right? And I need you to be able to thrive. Like, I need you to be thriving at 36 years old. And in 20 years, in those 18 years, you're going to be in a whole different world. So the world is already changing. And I'm talking to mostly my students of color, people of color. Like, society is changing. Like, in 20 years, there will be majority minorities in this country. So power is shifting, and I need you to be leaders because I'll be the old person. In 20 years, I'll be 56. Like, I'll be the old guy, but y'all be my age and be able to do different things and really be leaders. So this podcast and Success is My Religion and everything that I do is geared towards helping you become that leader for yourself and thrive for yourself. So you don't have to be dependent on anybody to for your own success. Like, success is within you, and you have all the capabilities and everything that you go through. One of my favorite quotes is, "Every adversity comes with it the seed of its equivalent advantage." And if you break that down, every adversity, most of us are born in adversity. Most of us don't even like. We struggle in our youth. And I was just talking to one of the custodians today. I was like, it's people out here trying to simulate a struggle so that they can get some, motivation, like just basic motivation. Because their parents gave up everything. They had cars and fancy houses. They live in a good apartment and all this stuff. Like, that adversity, people try to simulate that. Like, they try to. I don't even know how to explain it. But if you were born in adversity, you was born to succeed. If you were born in adversity, you was born to succeed. And I can't explain it no other way. Like, but you have to work your way out of that. Don't let anybody tell you that the law of attraction attracted you because you were born in adversity, and every adversity comes with it the seed, not it ain't in full bloom. We got to water it, and the water is work. And that's my mission is to get you to understand that Success is in the eye of the beholder. So what do you behold? That's one of the key points. Like, what do you behold? And it's hard for us as young people to understand that concept and after, actually go after it. But within this podcast, like, we're going to break that stuff down. We're going to, I got so much stuff to say. Like, and it may not all make sense, but if you stay with me, like, we can break that stuff down. Like, success is in the eye of the beholder. That means whatever you see for yourself. And then another quote is, what is it? Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. So you got to understand, like, it doesn't happen overnight. So I just told you about kind of like my 18 years up until now. Like, I didn't even tell you about the Uber. Like, I drove Uber and taught a whole bunch of group fitness classes for 3.5 years before I got this job at the high school that I work at. Sumner Academy, shout out to them. All them students are great. KCK is great. Like, I grew up in Independence, so KCK is great. Like, yeah. Sumner Academy, yeah. y'all forcing me to be great. and it's a good force. Like I needed it. I needed that push. But you guys are, even I don't know what your background is, but you are going to be leaders in this country. And I told you about my 18 years, like the past 18 years that I've been working. Like, I didn't understand what my goal is, and I'll go into that in future podcasts, but I didn't understand what my whole goal was. And it's because when I went to school, I'll just tell you this before I stop. Because I gotta have something for the next podcast. I know, and yeah. So, 18 years ago, when I went to Missouri Valley College, like, my ideal, my goal was to train athletes, right? That's all I wanted to do, was train athletes. I didn't know how I was gonna do that. First, I was at Iowa State. I was in pre-physical therapy. I was going to go to physical therapy school and all that stuff, but that didn't work out, obviously. But when I went to Missouri Valley, I was like, I want to train athletes. He was like, I'm going to put you in this program, double major. You get a certificate. You get experience. You get networking opportunities, all of these different things. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. And if one of those jobs can put me in position to do what I think I want to do, that's what I'll do. So that's what I did. But as time went on, as time goes on, and it went on in those 18 years, I had to reevaluate because the Great Recession happened. I didn't get the job that I wanted, or I didn't get the opportunities that I wanted. So I was like, I'll just get whatever because I need a job. I got these student loans about to kick in, all of these different things. I got to get a job. So I got a job. And then I had to reevaluate. The school shut down. So I was like, man, I want to work with college students or high school students, older students. And it was like, this is what it is. let me reevaluate. What do I really want to do? And that's when I started listening to, and this is a part of your process too. You got to start listening to, you got to have somebody that you go to for advice outside of your family, teachers, friends, like, cause they can only take you so far. And, what you're going to need in your process may come out of your, it's going to come outside of your comfort zone. And those categories of people are in your comfort zone. And that's what I had to start doing. I started listening to Dr. Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. He was telling me, he was like, if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. That's when I first really heard the word success. And that's when I started studying. I was like, what is this word? Like, why wasn't this in my conscious up until I was 28 years old? I think I was 28 years old. I didn't know nothing about no success. Didn't nobody say success? Oh, you're going to be successful, or we want you to be successful, and this, none of that. So that's why I'm giving back. Like, I have an understanding because I studied it. Like, I wanted to understand exactly what this was because it was foreign. It was a foreign language to me, and it was a sweet foreign language. I was like, I want to know everything about it. And that's when I went to a deep study of what success was. And that's when I was like, oh, success is in the eye of the beholder. That's when I learned through my study, like, success is in the eye of the beholder. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. Success is, it doesn't happen overnight. Success is intentional. Success is deliberate. Like, that's what, success is my religion. Like, the number one thing you should be doing is going after success. But what does that mean to you? And your success is going to help other people because you have a gift. I have a gift inside of me, and that's the work hard philosophy for individual achievement. That I don't know, it's a reverse engineering technique. I didn't know about reverse engineering. A lot of people don't, but this is what the highly successful people do. Elon Musk reverse engineers he's the best reverse engineerist I know. Like, who wants to go to Mars? Ain't nobody went to Mars. How do you get there? There's no blueprint. You have to position yourself. Success is about positioning. And I talk about all this in my book, Reverse Engineering Success, Work Hard, A Philosophy for Individual Achievement by Michael Taylor. You know, the success engineer. That's my nickname. That's my alter ego for this podcast. I'm the success engineer. But reverse engineering is a powerful thing. If success is intentional, success is deliberate, like, you have to be doing. And then work hard. That was my process. Let me explain that process. So I started studying success. And I was like, what does success mean to me? All right. And then they was like, to be successful, you have to work hard. And I was like, what does work hard mean? I'd have worked all of this stuff, and I ain't getting paid that much. I'm putting in all these hours of work. I'm working out, like, my body fit, my mind right. Like, my jobs is good. Like, I was doing everything. You telling me that I, what does work hard mean? And that's when it hit me. I was like, I don't know what work hard means. Let's figure it out. And that's when I realized that work hard means something different for everybody. Work hard is different for me. Work hard is different from you. And sometimes people have to work harder than other people. And that's just a fact of life. But we have to put it in. And what does, and if it takes 10,000 hours to be really good at something, if you want to really be successful, you have to be really good at something, and you have to work for it. So if it takes 10,000 hours to be really good at something, what are we doing in that 10,000 hours? And that's what Success Is My Religion, this podcast, is about. It's about working hard, working harder, and working smarter, because a lot of us that come from disadvantaged backgrounds, we don't have the option to not work hard and not work smart now. And there's so much information at our fingertips that there's no excuse now. And that's what I want to get to you. Like, you guys are powerful. Y'all are going to be leaders. Y'all are my main focus. Like, if adults listen to this, like, that's cool. But my main focus is y'all students, y'all 15 to 25, coming from disadvantaged backgrounds. We got to learn this stuff, because I didn't know none of this stuff before I started studying it and understanding. I had to make the connections after I did the work. Like, I want to help y'all make the connections as y'all do the work so y'all can be more intentional and deliberate about what y'all do. Like, I was doing the stuff without knowing it. Like, I was just doing it because, like, I was just like, I'm going to get this experience. But I need y'all to be intentional and deliberate so y'all can thrive. Like, it took me 18 years to get to a point where, like, I can actually save money. Like, I was making $24,500 for the first 7 years of my career after graduate school with a master's degree. that's barely anything. that ain't nothing. And you know how sick, like, I can talk about it now. Like, I'm less than a year removed from making $24,500. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was making more Uber driving, but, like, I ran my car into the dust, the dirt or whatever. But, like, it's still a process, and I want y'all to thrive. Like, I want y'all, like, y'all already conscious of, like, money and not going into debt and all that stuff, and that's good. But, like, we gotta, it's all aspects of life. We gotta be conscious of everything that we do. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this. And you're gonna hear more from me. Like, this is gonna come. this is off the top of my head. I got a lot, but I need this. This is what I really need from you. And I hope you stay through the whole episode, because this is what I need from you. I need interaction from you. Like, I need you to talk with me back and forth. I need you to ask questions. Like, I got a lot of information, and I'm a free associate. Like, my mind free associates with a lot of different things. So if you ask me a direct question and give me context, like, we can figure it out. Like, I'm all about solutions. Like, I'm not about just giving you motivation, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. Like, I need solutions. Like, we need stuff that's going to push the envelope. Like, we need to work on a plan. And that's what the Work Hard philosophy for individual achievement does. It helps you create a blueprint for success, because we all about positioning. We all about intentionality, deliberateness. Success don't happen overnight, y'all. I hope y'all stayed with me. To my students who didn't think I was going to do this and put this out, this is out. Leave me some comments. Let me know if you like this. And if you have any questions about success, put them in the comments. Yeah, all we need to do is work hard. You, like, I kind of like this too. This is going to be my practice. Now I'm figuring out how to practice, just because one of my students was like, you got to do this, and your stuff was terrible. And if you don't, he know me, but you don't know me that well. But I hate losing. And if I do bad, yeah, I just hate losing. And I won't lose. I've been losing all my life. Like, and we'll get into that stuff, but I won't lose anymore. And I need to get this message out there. And I just want to help y'all. Like, I don't have every answer, but I want to help y'all find it. Like, we can find it together. I don't care. Like, I'm not trying to convince you that you don't know what you don't know. I'm trying to get you to make the connection between what you're doing and what success is. Because we can get good grades in school, like, we can do the schoolwork, but that don't necessarily translate into success for people of color. For a lot of us from disadvantaged backgrounds, it does not necessarily translate into success. School isn't just, it doesn't translate into success all the time. And I'm a perfect example of it. Like, I put in work. Like, I'm not getting any opportunities, but this is my opportunity now. This is what I was meant to be doing, is talking to you, directly to you, because I can't work in a regular job setting and do what I do, because they want me to do what they want me to do to achieve their goals. Like, I need to talk directly to you, because I need to move that needle. I can't change the systems that we're in, but I can change the individuals and how we use the system as tools for our success. And that's what we need to do, is learn how to use these tools for our success. So I'm in this at right here. Leave me a message, support me, follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Work Hard Movement, WRKHRDMOVEMENT, Work Hard Movement at, and then, I'm on TikTok too. I ain't too, into TikTok yet, but I will be. Like, I'll be speaking this stuff on TikTok and everything, doing my little dances, because I can dance a little bit. TikTok is at Work Hard TV. So follow me on there. If you have any questions, let me know. Like we in this together. Like, you a part of my team. If you listen to this whole podcast, like, you're a part of the team now. And I definitely make sure that I won't lose, you won't lose, we won't lose. Have a good night and a good day. Whenever you hear this, I will talk to you later. Have a good one.